Sisters and brothers, perhaps the key message from last week's show was that claiming the future is how we get free. It may be that this is difficult for scholarship to see, but nonetheless, it's a stunning thing to witness its seeming indifference. And I mean, of course, the scholarship on the left. The right, that's, you know, not stunning at all. It's to be expected. Its seeming indifference when confronted with a tiny, tiny, minuscule, posturing few determined to drag us billions into their deep-seated illusions of rule. It strikes me that this gets back to that interior mental infrastructure of rationalism, the ejection of reverence from decision-making, from our thought process, which translates to, in concrete terms, means disconnection from our bodies, a distrust of feeling. And how do we get that is what we're asking today. And when that is the place from which you start, the result forever bears that mark that signifies loss of heart. My neighbor, Mrs. Trotter, said to me once, "Some people say it don't make no sense to look back. But if you don't go backwards, how can you go forwards? You go backwards to get a chance to get straightened out. You know, you got some crooked roads back there." And I see it that way too, crooked roads and wrong roads down which we didn't have to go. And the wrong of it just gets compounded and compounded again. That's what makes that crooked metaphor so effective, until we find ourselves in quite a mess. So we have to go back to where we made that wrong turn. And that means in the life of the individual as well as of the species. And start out again in the right direction. Since we've been giving thanks for Emmanuel Wallerstein, who I see as current scholarship on the left at its most honest, let's illustrate with him. His chapter in Does Capitalism Have a Future is a really good condensed version of his overall view and analysis. He begins by drawing an analogy between the capitalist system and the human body. Quote from Emmanuel Wallerstein, "How has capitalism worked in practice? All systems fluctuate. That is, the machinery of the system constantly deviates from its point of equilibrium. The example of this with which most people are very familiar is the physiology of the human body. We breathe in and out. We need to breathe in and out. But there are mechanisms within the human body and within the modern world system to bring the operation of the system back to equilibrium. A moving equilibrium, to be sure, but an equilibrium. What we think of as the moment of the normal operation of a system is the period during which the pressure to return to equilibrium is greater than any pressure to move away from equilibrium." And that's from his chapter in Does Capitalism Have a Future? Structural Crisis, or Why Capitalists May No Longer Find Capitalism Rewarding, is the title of his chapter. Now, how do we make sense of this word equilibrium when applied to an artificial construction, a manufactured reality? When he says equilibrium, he's actually talking about us, we, the people, and our containment. It means that the captives are sufficiently quiet. Wallerstein argues that there are two mechanisms by which global state philosophers, statesmen, which is my term, understand the movement. And movement, again, as with equilibrium, is us, the movement of the system. And for Wallerstein, the system is capitalism, and for me, class. So he argues that there are these mechanisms for understanding what happens in it, the system, politically and economically, and that essentially this movement is rendered visible by means of money, i.e. life is quantified and thereby reduced, simplified, and of course, by means of this process, disappeared. This has been Power's fantasy from day one. Quiet, no noise. We become a passive lump that Power can pound into what it wants. And so this movement, quote unquote, is rendered visible by means of money, by means of the fact that quantification of the resources of the earth has advanced to such a degree that almost all actions that act on these resources can be converted into terms of money. Two types of movements, he tells us, does he see: short Kondratiev booms and busts, or A's and B's, back and forth tussles between the heavy eaters, the producer class, and we, us, we the people and our earth, that resolve quickly into a result. And longer cycles that bring in the heavy guns, cycles that he calls hegemonic, because it's about bully states imposing the rules, quote unquote, of accumulation. Now, necessarily, the scholar's glasses will not be adequate to see with the lens from below, for we have very different requirements. Ours are not those of management, the requirement for which the original and ongoing quantification was made. For us, the question is how to translate his terms authentically in terms of Power's imperative in chief to keep the cattle penned effectively. For us, the question is how to translate these terms authentically so that we can all see and agree that this is the point of states, which means, therefore, that they can never, by definition, allow us to pursue happiness, as happiness requires release from containment.